would you turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 3. In this scenario, we see that Paul was emphasizing his apostolic authority to the Corinthian church. And interestingly, it's against false apostles that has crept into the church and actually won their hearts over. And so the Apostle Paul just addresses them. And I just want us to read in a couple of translations here. In the NIV version, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he gives this admonition in which he stated, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." And in another translation, it reads this way, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." I spoke to a young man last night at the party, and come to find out, when we started talking, and I don't know what he does at church, but he's part of the teaching staff or whatever there in that local church, and he belongs to a denomination that is quite different from ours. However, after talking with him, it seems that young man can naturally belong to this congregation. He has the same DNA as you and I have in regards to understanding the new church culture and so forth. And so it was just so refreshing to talk to him, and everything that I told him, we agreed. And it was just that. And then we started to talk about where our backgrounds and so forth, and our backgrounds are completely almost on the opposite ends. Our theological discipline is at opposite sides of the spectrum, and then yet he speaks the same way we do. It was just incredible. And so after talking with him, it led me to really this message. And so in this particular message, I want to just ask a few questions here. When it comes to Christianity, I don't know. I just want to hear from you. But is it difficult? Is it really difficult to be a Christian? Does it seem complicated? Does it seem demanding? For instance, you are told that you need to stop your bad habits in order for you to grow in the Christian faith. Or you may have to increase your devotion to Christ. Or maybe reduce your worry. Maybe you need to do more or suffer more when you're a Christian. As a believer, do you feel inadequate sometimes when it comes to talking to other Christians? When others can pray all night, but you can only pray for 5 minutes. Hello, are you there? When somebody says that they're able to fast 40 days and nights, and you can't even fast a meal. You know, I love those times of fast. You know, that's when the enemy attacks you the most, I think. You know, the first 30 minutes is crucial. When that clock says, you know, it's time for a Big Mac, and then yet you know that the Spirit of God is telling you not to eat, then your blood pressure goes down. You know, you start to see visions and dreams when it's not really there and so forth. How about when somebody says, well, you know, under our ministry, we were even able to raise the dead. And for us, we can't even pray for a common cold. People may have told you that they've led thousands to Christ by simply being with people And then yet you've been trying to witness to that one person for years, and it seems fruitless. How many of you ever feel that way about your Christian walk? How about others when they claim to know everything about the Bible? And then yet when you open the Word, after the first chapters of the epistles, you start wondering, what in the world was the Apostle Paul talking about? So all of these things, all of these questions have come to the attention of the life of the church. And so the answer to this is this: we need to get back to the purity and simplicity of Jesus. There are benefits that we're able to gain when we have simple devotion. The truth of the matter is this: we were created in God's image and after His likeness. We see this in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And so therefore, the more we become like Jesus, the more we become the person He created us to be. That is the common denominator. Say this with me: I've been created in His image. Say it again: I've been created in His image. Therefore, the more we become like Jesus, the more we become like the person we were created to be. And so we find fulfillment, contentment, and even joy in Him. Watch this. Our contentment, our fulfillment, or our joy is not found in doing more spiritual activities or less spiritual activities. Are you there? In other words, this true contentment, it doesn't come from attending or engaging in spiritual activities. Now, this will step on a lot of toes, because you know what? I've done a lot of activities as a Christian. It's not found in religious activities. It's not found in doing more or doing less. It's not even found in being in serene settings like forests and oceans and all of these other places where, you know, we want to be when we're stressed out at work or something like that, right? So we take these vacations and we want to go where cell phones don't work, and so we want to be alone, kind of thing, into serene locations. Well, guess what? Your maturity does not come from that. I want to just stop us at our tracks right then and there. It's not even found, and watch this, it's not even found in religious activities, how wonderful they may be, but we don't find our contentment and our fulfillment by doing more religious stuff. Nudge your neighbor and say, it's not in religious activities. What? I don't know, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know, that's a heavy statement. Religious activities? Well, what are we doing now in service? Isn't that a religious activity? Exactly. Our contentment, our fulfillment, our joy is not found in being in this service. It's only found in Jesus Christ. So you could sit here, I could sit here all day, all week, all year. It does not make me grow spiritually. It's a fallacy. It's myth. Here's a big one. We don't find contentment, joy, and fulfillment in God simply by reading Scripture. Oh, Pastor, I know you're definitely heresy when you said that. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. Look at what Jesus says. What does He say there? Amen, Jaden. He says, you search the Scriptures, for in them, read it again, you search the what? The Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. See, Scripture talks about God. It testifies about God. That doesn't mean it's the relationship that we have with God. The Bible speaks of a rest in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, that it's a promise. It says, a promise remains of entering his rest. This rest speaks of, in other words, it has this picture of a baby with his or her mother, in which the mother is looking intently at the child and the child looking intently towards the mother. That's the picture of rest that the Bible speaks of. It is not the Grand Canyon. It is not Yosemite Park. Are you there? It is not Malibu Beach. It is not the Desert Butte over there where Angela and them has gone. I don't even know where that place is. Saddleback. It's not there. The rest is not found there. It speaks about a child looking intently at the mother and vice versa, or being with the people we love. It speaks of being guided by a knowledgeable guide through unfamiliar surroundings. I love what Pastor Wayne Cordero says. He says, he is not the rest from our labors. He is the rest in our labors. So in other words, in the middle of stress, in the middle of busyness, in the middle of things that has to get done in life, in the midst of all of this, of all of these things, that's when we find rest. We find it in him. And so, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants us to somehow turn towards another direction. He wants us to turn towards activities, to turn towards religious things. But yet, it's considered as counterfeit. How do you know that the enemy is giving you counterfeit? See, the Bible speaks of the enemy as the adversary or the tempter. The Bible says that he's the author of confusion, the master of deception. And so in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says that be of sober spirit, it says. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So he's in it seriously. He's not playing. He's not just, you know, somehow playing a game with us. He aims to kill us. And so what happens in this counterfeiting, it's simply this. Whatever is important to God, that's what the enemy will try to distract us from. That's how you can tell it's a counterfeit. I wrote down a couple of things over here. This is one of the big counterfeits here. It goes something like this. When we feel that we're missing the point, or that Christianity or the Christian life is complicated, or it's too difficult, or Jesus seemed distant, then we know it's a counterfeit. The fact is that Jesus is near. Amen. The book of John chapter 10 verse 11 speaks of him, speaks of himself as the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And if you turn with me to verse 27 through 30 on that same passage, book of John chapter 10, look at verse 27. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And so the biggest deception is this, that somehow our activities, our religious things that we do, somehow these are the things that gets us closer to God. But it's not. It's our relationship with Jesus that gets us closer to Him. And so this deception or this counterfeit continues. Someone once says, it's not destruction that causes our greatest concern. It's distraction. Our eyes are too full to see Him. Whether it be this week's desires or today's fears, relationships we want, things we need, problems we despise, all of these things will distract us from the real thing. Nudge your neighbor again and say, man, that's true. It's not destruction. It's not whether or not, or you're going to hell or whatever if you do these things. That's not it. When your mind is filled with things that are not of God, that's the real issue. What makes Christianity complicated and you're overwhelmed by all of these things, it's not the simplicity of Jesus. It's these distractions. You ever go fishing? I've been looking at the reports. I'm supposed to be on vacation this week, so I'm looking at fishing reports. And then I'm looking into my toolbox or my bait tackle box. And so I wonder what the fish is going to be biting on this year. I've already got the kinds of fish that I'm targeting. Some people, they like bass. It's good for sinigang, fish soup, but I like barracuda, not because of the taste, but because of the fight. And so I've looked at my tackle box and I wonder, well, you know, what do they bite on? Well, there's anchovies, sardines, squid, yo-ho-hos, blue and white, scrambled eggs. Yo-ho-ho's blue and white. Those are lures. Scrambled eggs. That's a lure. And I see some of you go, oh, scrambled eggs, Master. We can do that. That's called a yo-ho-ho. There's also feathers and diamond jigs. Scampies. All assortments. Different kinds. And if you're fishing freshwater, then those guys are like Houdinis. They'll put the saltwater fishermen away. They have more lures, different kinds. Everything from flies to bugs to salamanders to plastic worms and frogs and powerbait, all of them. But here's the truth of this whole thing. Satan has won with our name on it. It's got your number. Knows what to bait you in. So you know what's the greatest bait that he uses on us? The best lure that's universal to you and I in the 21st century church. It's this. Are you ready? This will keep you from a relationship with God. This is so potent that for sure you will be drawn away from God. You know what it is? He puts this lure not exactly where you're at. He puts it like towards the side, among the reeds. It's camouflaged. It's almost right. It seems religious. It seems true. And when you get into it, you go, I can't help but get into that. It's almost natural to take this lure. You know what that lure is? It's complicated devotion. It's making things complicated. when it comes to our walk with the Lord. It's the kind of complication that we used to talk about this when we were younger. We used to go to these Christian camps. How many of you have ever gone to one of those Christian camps? Oh, man. You know, you're glowing in the dark after it's done. And then you have fellowships in which you call them afterglows. It's afterglow. Because it's what happens when God encounters with you and you're just so high in the Lord. And man, you're glowing in the dark. Almost like these neon souls that are walking around in the dark, you know, by the cabins. And then you go down that mountainside singing songs, never again to sing maybe the Beatles or Hotel California or, you know, some One Direction, you know, no more. You're never going to sing those songs again because you got this going on. And then what happens is this. It's so complicated, your devotion gets so complicated that after 2 weeks, guaranteed, you're going to be backsliding. Complicated devotion. Somehow, we've been programmed to think that the Christian life requires this monastic discipline involving a very stoic, funless, lifeless dedication to religious, theological studies and church activities. We develop a different measuring stick for our spirituality. We confuse spiritual vitality for spiritual activity. We measure our maturity by what we do instead of who God is. How often do we go to church? How often do we attend church function? How many times a week do we attend Bible study? How many times we've read the Bible? How often do we volunteer? Say this with me. We're using the wrong measuring stick. Here's one for the pastors of this church. Ministers, leaders, senior pastors like myself. We measure our worth by how many people are listening to what we say, or how many people are attending our services, instead of how close are we following Jesus and becoming more like Him. Are you there, church leaders? All of these things lead to distraction. And distraction will veer us astray. See, anything that will veer us from the relationship we have with Him that is pure and simple will surely lead us away. You understand where I'm coming from? If your devotion to Christ has become complicated, most likely you're veering off. If all of a sudden you add stuff to the simplicity and the purity of your devotion to Christ, be rest assured, you're going the other way. If you think you need to do more, go to places more, buy more CDs, acquire more Christian t-shirts, wear more crosses, have more crosses in the house, have holy water, do more activities in church, that somehow with all of those things, God will love you more or accept you more, then guess what? You're veering off. This will lead to distraction. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. I love that word simplicity. It comes from the Greek word haplotes, which means unfolded. You know, if you go to the Promised Land or you ever see works of tapestry, what they would do is they would have these intricate designs, weaving kind of thing, and beautiful, beautiful artwork. And so what they would do is they would fold these things up and put them into packages in which there'd be like a little window so that it's easy to travel with. You see it there and then you go, wow, this is beautiful, so I'm going to take one of this and that. It's very convenient. You can take it on the plane with you when you get back home, you know, this kind of thing. However, you don't know that maybe when you open these things up, you'll see like everything from threads hanging out to maybe it's incomplete. But now you've taken a plane ride for thousands of miles and here you are with this piece of thing that looks good in the front, but when you unfold it, guess what? It's useless. So what they would do is they would take these tapestries and they would take them out of the packages and they would allow them to be unfolded right before your eyes so that you can see even the defects that it has. You see it all for what it is. You see, being simple in the Lord's devotion has to be that we need to start living open lives, unfolded lives. We need to live in openness and honesty. That's a good way of uncomplicating our devotion to Him. Amen? And so that's what we try to practice here in church. No wonder the book of Psalms 139 verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts." Living unfolded lives will lead us to correct our lives to the simplicity and purity of our relationship with Jesus. I'd like to just add one more thing in this. Are you tracking with me? We need to live uncomplicated devotions. Amen. And so we need to live in openness and honesty. Get that? Here's the second one. The first one's not going to work unless you do the second one. Say this to your neighbor. You also need to be humble. You got to be humble. Being humble means that you're open to somebody else molding and shaping you. Your head gets turned. But if you're not humble, your neck is stiff. Turn this way. No. I'm open, Lord, but don't turn my head. Are you there? You know, it's one thing when you say, I'm living in an unfolded life. I'm living in openness. Lord, you see me for who I am. Search me and know me. But yet you're not humble. And so God can't turn you. Are you there? And so what happens when that happens? Then your devotion to Him, guess what happens to that? It becomes again what? Complicated. Isn't it simple? Isn't it refreshing? We live in a world where everything is plastic. Everything is not pure and simple. Man, I thought I was doing good because we went to the Filipino store and I got me some guayabano juice. Tastes good. Guayabano. The rich Filipino drink. I thought, my goodness, this is good for the kidneys. This is wonderful. This is vitamin C and A, B, C and all the way to Z. It's got everything, iron, potassium, everything. And then come to find out, it's not even 10% fruit juice. I don't know what it's got, but it's not guayabano. We live in a world like that. Everything is complicated. Nothing is pure. Nothing is simple. Everything is made up, even the vegetables we eat. It's not really the vegetables anymore. Are you there? It's amazing. Everything is made in China. The places of worship are no longer simple fellowships. We complicate them with all kinds of activities and all kinds of things. Our worship can no longer be worship unless Pastor Fernie gets what he wants when the waves are moving. I don't want still shots. I want this whole thing to just be moving and swaying. I want laser show. more people get saved because of the laser show. I've seen them in the larger churches, right? Tim, that larger churches have laser show, and then more people get saved. Lord, forgive me. Now I don't want anything to move. Lord, keep us humble. Pretty soon it's just going to be Fitzy up here playing three chords like his Tito Fernie. We need to correct back to the simplicity and the purity of our devotion to Christ. Then we'll see that we will live a fulfilled, satisfying, joyful walk. We will no longer be burned out or stressed out. We will no longer be lifeless and stoic, but we become real again. Amen. We become alive. Hallelujah. Say this to your neighbor. You're alive. Yes, you are. Would you stand with me, please? Would you do this for me? Would you close your eyes and would you raise your hands? I'd like for you to receive today. I'd like for us to receive today. Father, you've searched us and you know us, oh God. You know every thought. You know every pain. You know every need. Today, oh Lord, we just need you. We just need the simplicity of devotion to you. Father, as we raise our hands today, would you remove every distraction? Would you remove, oh God, everything, oh Lord, that keeps our devotion complicated? And in return, would you fill us simply with your presence today? We bless you and we love you. And we're humbled and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.